So I know I'm a little late to the party, but I have always wanted to try this hysterical literature thing. I think it's hilarious and also pretty hot, depending on what's being read and how it's being delivered. I guess that's the point. So today I wanted to read to you from the book Psychopathia Sexualis by Professor Richard von Krafft Ebing. Sorry, Ebing. I picked up this book on a road trip through upstate New York. We saw this cute little used bookstore on the side of the road, so we stopped there, checked it out, and I picked this up. It appears to be a copy from 1969. So of course I needed to pick up the 1969 edition of Psychopathia Sexualis. You would too. I also picked up, I think, a 1975 edition of Women in Madness by Phyllis Chesler, which is a, I real, I honest to God, I really just picked it up for the title, but I started reading through it a little bit, and it turns out to be just a wonderful bit of feminist literature that I'm gonna read all the way through at some point. Maybe not for this, or maybe, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, Psychopathia Sexualis, we're gonna skip past the intro. We're gonna skip past the foreword. We're gonna skip past the author's preface. All three of those things are present in the front of this book. We're not gonna bother. Instead, we're going to skip straight to Fragments of a System of Psychology of Sexual Life, Chapter 1. So I am straddling one of my toys. It's a vibrator with a clit sucker and a G-spot vibe. Nothing is on yet, but I thought maybe I would just turn the clit vibe on a fairly low setting to get started. That's nice. And here we go. Fragments of a System of Psychology of Sexual Life. The propagation of the human race is not left to mere accident or the caprices of the individual, but is guaranteed by the hidden laws of nature, which are enforced by a mighty, irresistible impulse. Sensual enjoyment and physical fitness are not the only conditions for the enforcement of these laws, but higher motives and aims, such as the desire to continue the species or the individuality of mental and physical qualities beyond time and space, exerted considerable influence. Man puts himself at once on a level with the beast if he seeks to gratify lust alone, and don't get me wrong, that's a lot of fun. But he elevates his superior position when he, by curbing the animal desire, he combines with the sexual functions ideas of morality, of the sublime, and the beautiful. Now, what are the rules to this? I just stop reading when I come. Yeah, this may end up being shorter than I expected, but let's press on. If man were deprived of sexual fulfillment and the nobler enjoyments arising therefrom, all poetry and probably all moral tendency would be eliminated from his life. Sexual life, no doubt, is the one mighty factor in the individual and social relations of man, which discloses his powers of activity, of acquiring property, of establishing a home, of awakening altruistic sentiments towards a person of the opposite sex, or in these times, towards whatever person of their choosing, and towards his own issue, as well as towards the whole human race. Sexual feeling is really the root of all ethics, and no doubt of aestheticism and religion. The sublimest virtues, even the sacrifice of self, may spring from sexual life, which, however, on account of its sensual power, may easily degenerate into the lowest passion and basest vice. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. Okay. You want to turn that up a little bit? Why not? What the hell? Should we throw in the G-spot vibe? Why not? A lot of us are off work today. Did I get the button? I don't think I got the button. Come on. Oh, there we go. Oh god, there we go. Can I remember where I left off? Okay. Love, unbridled, is a volcano that burns down and lays waste all around it. It is an abyss that devours all honor, substance, and health. It is of great psychological interest to follow up, the gradual development of civilization and the influence exerted by sexual life upon habits and morality. The gratification of the sexual instinct seems to be the primary motive in man as well as in beast. Sexual intercourse is done openly, and men and women are not ashamed of their nakedness. This is a racist line. So something about savage races, we're gonna skip over that. There's a lot of things in the next paragraph or two that don't really fly in 2020. Didn't really, I think, in 2000 either. How about this? Alright. Another element which tends to promote the refined development of sexual life is the fact that the woman ceases to be I'm not sure how to pronounce this, I'm gonna say chattel. She becomes an individual being. And although socially still far below man, she gradually acquires rights, independence of action, privilege to bestow her favors where she inclines. She is wooed by man. Traces of ethical sentiment pervade the rude, sensual appetite. Idealization begins, and the community of women ceases. The sexes are drawn to each other by mental and physical merits and exchange favors of preference. No, not yet. Fuck. Okay. In this stage, woman is conscious of the fact that her charms belong only to the man, 2020, or woman, or person, of her choice. She seeks to hide them from others. This forms a foundation of modesty, chastity, and sexual fidelity for as long as love endures.
Okay, sure. This development is hastened whenever nomadic habits yield to the spirit of colonization. I'm riding a little bit harder now. I can't help myself. Where man establishes a household. He feels the necessity for a companion in life, a housewife in a settled home. The Egyptians, the Israelites, and the Greeks reached this level at early periods, as did the Teutonic races. Its principal characteristics are a high appreciation of virginity, chastity, modesty, and sexual fidelity, in strong contrast to the habits of other peoples, where the host places the personal charms of the wife at the disposal of the guest. Interesting. Oh, fuck. The history of Japan furnishes a striking proof that this high grade of civilization is often the last stage of moral development. For in that country, 20 years ago, by that we mean 1949, prostitution was not considered to impair in any way the social status of the future wife. Oh no, not yet. Christianity raised the union of the sexes to a sublime position by making woman socially on the equal of man and by elevating the bond of love to a moral and religious institution. Thence emanates the fact that the love of man, if considered from the standpoint of advanced civilization, can only be of a monogamic nature, I guess, and must rest upon a stable basis. Even though nature should claim merely the law of just a little bit further. A little further. Oh, where is my sword? Where did I leave off? Thence emanates the fact that the love of man, if considered from the standpoint of advanced civilization, can only be of a damn it, monogamic nature, and must rest upon a stable basis. Even though nature should claim merely the law of propagation, a community, a family, or state cannot subsist without the guarantee that the offspring will thrive physically, morally, and intellectually. From the moment when woman was recognized the peer of man, when monogamy became a law and was consolidated by legal, religious, and moral conditions, the Christian nations attended a mental and material superiority over the. Oh, I don't agree with this at all. Okay. Let's just skip over a couple of things before we ruin this audio, guys. Okay. Life is a never-ending duel between the animal instinct and morality. Only willpower and strong character can emancipate man from the meanness of his corrupt nature and teach him how to enjoy the pure pleasures of love and pluck the noble fruits of earthly existence. I give up. I give up. I gotta come. I gotta come. Shit. Came down on my back. And I'm putting the toy back in. And I am gone. oh my god, 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 oh my fucking god. That is, that's okay, that's the right, that is the right spot right there. That is the right spot. Oh my fucking god, I can't move it because it's so good. I wanted to take it out and grab the dildo and start fucking away, but this clit sucker found this spot right, just, it feels like just slightly to the left, my left of my clit, and it's just, and it's... Why don't we just get in there with a dildo anyway? Okay, well, how far did we get? I believe that was page 4 of chapter 1. We did great, guys. So that was Psychopathia Sexualis by Professor Richard von Kraft Ebbing, and again, 1969 edition. On the front it says, the only newly and completely translated edition of the classic work on sexual aberration. I feel like we could revisit this book a bunch of times for these, and I've made the unfortunate error of accidentally tearing the front cover almost all the way off, so I'm gonna find some tape. Okay, bye.